Coming up, a Renaissance midwife who doubles as a detective. We share the acclaimed debut novel by Sam Thomas, The Midwife's Tale, as you stay tuned to Around Noon on 90.3.
Coming down the line. Train. Coming down the line.
You're listening to 90.3 WCPN. Idea Stream.
When we hear the term midwife, we tend to think of someone whose job it is to help bring new lives into the world. But historian Sam Thomas, who teaches at University School, explores the much larger role a midwife played in the 17th century in England in his first novel, The Midwife's Tale. Thomas weaves a story filled with murder and mystery, one he'll discuss tomorrow evening at 7 at the Beechwood branch of the Cuyahoga County Public Library. Sam Thomas sat down with IdeaStream's Dan Paletta to talk about the book.
Sam Thomas, welcome to Around Noon. We're glad to have you join us today.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
Your first book, The Midwife's Tale, is a work of historical fiction set in 1644 England. At that time, England is engaged in a civil war with the king facing off against his own parliament. For those of us whose last history class was a long time ago, refresh our memories. What's the cause of the conflict?
Well, I mean, this is a conflict that is between king and parliament, this is historians debate what exactly was going on here. There's a strong religious element. This is when Puritans are really coming into political power and are battling against what they see as Catholicism or a Catholic influence within Protestant England.
What appeals to you about this particular period as a historian?
I think this is a period when England was in the midst of becoming a religiously diverse society. And so this is when you had Quakers coming into existence. You have the Church of England splitting into different Protestant groups, whether it's Presbyterians or Baptists or Independents. And it's just, I come from a pretty diverse background religiously. So I think that trying to figure out how these different groups got along or didn't get along is how I got into it as a historian. And then I sort of followed it from the history side into the fiction side as a natural course.
I recall speaking to an author who'd written extensively about the 1950s at a time when sex was, quote, behind closed doors. And she said that was a more interesting time to write about than when it was out in the open. Here we find a number of Puritan people engaging in less than Puritan-like activities.
Yeah, well, and this is of course, endlessly frustrating for the Puritans themselves. We tend to think of sex and childbirth as something that is a private affair, whereas at this time, both of these are much more public in a sense. Although, in some ways, the boundaries get blurred. We consider childbirth private, even though women now give birth in the presence of strangers. At this time, sort of the midwife, the mother knew the midwife and then gave birth in public, but surrounded by her friends. And so the issues of public and private are you have to approach them differently than in the past than you would in the present.
One of the things you make clear in The Midwife's Tale is that even for the wealthy, this isn't the most pleasant time to be alive, in particular where childbirth is concerned. How much different it must have been at that point to give birth to a child compared to what we see now?
This goes to this question of what exactly a midwife did in a pre-medical world. Obviously, she isn't administering an epidural or performing a cesarean section, but she is essentially managing the birth from a social perspective, and so it has to do with things like making sure the mother stays calm, reassuring her, making sure that all the things that are going on in the delivery room are sort of making the birth easier rather than harder. And there are herbal remedies that are being used. The mother is often given something called caudle, which was a sort of a porridge with wine in it, and so which could have eased the mother's travail, as they called it, as well.
So against this backdrop in our book, you introduce us to the midwife, Bridget Hodgson. She's living in New York, twice widowed. She's a woman of means and respect. Let's talk about the midwife in 17th century England. As I read the book, I thought this is probably one of the few places where a woman has some power in society.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that really attracted me to midwives from a historical perspective and then as a fictional character. Midwives are not just medical practitioners, as you know, as they usually are today. They were part of the parish government. They were the only women in England who were licensed by the church in order to before they could practice. They were the only women who had to swear a public oath, and that put them in the same category as men, like ministers and school teachers and physicians, who are required to take an oath in order to do this work. And so it really does give them more power than most women have, and a place in society that is, that sort of straddles this boundary between the public world of crime and punishment and the private world of pregnancy and childbirth.
Now, crime and punishment is an important part of the job of the midwife. This was something I was so surprised to find out as I read the book. Bridget ends up going down some of the darkest alleys in English society.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, any time that women encounter the law, there's a role for the midwife. And in some of the most dramatic cases, like, for example, if a woman is accused of witchcraft, it is the midwife's job to search her body for what they call the witch's mark, which is the place where the devil's familiar, you know, the witch always has her black cat. This was the devil's representative, and who supposedly sucked the witch's blood and left this mark. And it was the midwife who had to find this mark. In cases of infanticide, it was the midwife who investigated the crime, searched a suspect's body to determine if she had given birth, and then questioned the mother to try and get her to confess to murdering an infant. So there are a number of cases in which a woman's life is literally in the midwife's hands.
I was also surprised to see that she's charged by the state to investigate illegitimate births.
Yeah, and this, you know, some things change, some things don't. The concern was that a single mother would wind up receiving public assistance. And so the idea was that the midwife was supposed to question the mother in order to determine who the father is so that he could be made to pay for the upkeep of his child. And based on the midwife's oath, she could not render assistance without the mother confessing who the father of the child was.
We're joined on 90.3's Around Noon by historian Sam Thomas. The Shaker Heights resident, who serves as an instructor at university school, has just had his first book published, The Midwife's Tale. Sam will talk about the book tomorrow evening at 7 at the Beechwood branch of the Cuyahoga County Public Library as part of The Midwife's Tale hometown book launch. See aroundnoon.ideastream.org for more information. Sam, at the center of the midwife's tale is a murder. One of Bridget's friends, Esther's been accused of murdering her husband by poisoning him, and she asks Bridget to help clear her name, and in part because she will soon be put to death if Bridget doesn't help her clear her name. This woman is not only accused of murder, more importantly, she's accused of the crime of treason, and we tend to think of treason as a crime that an individual commits against the state. Why would this be considered treason?
This novel takes place in the midst of a civil war, as the subjects have risen against the king. And so I wanted to draw the comparison between the rebellion against the king and then a wife's rebellion against her husband. And so in the language and in the law of the time, a servant who murdered his master or a wife who murdered her husband or a child who killed a parent, the metaphorically it is treason. And so it was treated as such under the law and had been for many centuries by this time.
People are discussing this accusation against Esther, and Bridget makes it clear that it seems that people are less horrified by the fact that a woman may have murdered someone, but that she killed someone above her station. And this seems to be a theme that runs through the book, this issue of needing to maintain a sense of order within society, and not just the sort of order we have to maintain so things don't become lawless, but we can't break these social codes. There's a point toward the end of the book where she gives an urchin, a little urchin, a job, and she goes to pay him, and he says, thank you. And she won't pay him until he says, thank you, my lady. And that seems to be a theme that runs through the book. Is maintaining that sort of societal order above all else, is that the most important thing to this society?
To some people, it is. I mean, so this, and this again goes to, back to the issue of the English Civil War and Revolution. And you know, people feared that this was going to be a world turned upside down. And so the question of who has power is central to the Civil War and to the concerns of these characters at a much lower and more local level.
And then this whole issue of her being a gentlewoman, that she couldn't be seen running through the streets, all of those sort of things are an interesting undercurrent to what is a murder mystery.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that I really like about her as a character is that she really likes herself quite a lot. One of the things that I was not able to work into the book is that in the real midwife upon whom she is based, I know the names of her godchildren who she was able to name. And in her will, she lists her male godchildren, Stephen, Edward, you know, typical names. All of her female godchildren are named Bridget.
Ah.
And her daughter is named Bridget. This is a woman who was quite sure of herself and the power that she wielded.
One of the things I found most interesting about Bridget is that at one level she is a woman and women have a certain station in society. So is there a conflict for her? She wants to maintain societal order, but at the same time, she feels put upon because she doesn't get the respect she's due because she's seen as just a woman.
Yeah, and that's one of the interesting things about her is that sort of her authority comes from a number of different places. I mean, first, the fact that she's a woman, that works against her having authority. But she's also a gentlewoman. She has this status based on her birth. And she's a midwife, and this gives her a great deal of power as well. And so, I mean, one of the issues I wanted to explore or ask of readers is, you know, is she a feminist? And sort of I think I know the answer to this, but it's one that I think readers would want to think about as well, because clearly she resents being sort of excluded from matters based on gender. But at the same time, I think it would be hard to make the argument that she thinks that all women should have the same rights that she does.
I don't want to say too much about the book because it's a murder mystery and I don't want to give anything away. But I was curious for you, with your role as historian and novelist, were there ever points where your need to remain historically accurate ran up against the idea, I need to continue with my plot and keep the pages turning? Do you ever run into those problems where you had to balance one versus the other?
Yeah, there was one, and actually we can do this without giving away too much. In one of the early scenes, there is where Bridget has to deal with this woman who has had a bastard child. And in, I think that the historical Bridget Hodgson would have looked at this woman and said, yes, she needs to be stripped to the waist, tied to the back of a cart, and then whipped. I had a hard time putting that into the book and making her remain sympathetic to the modern reader. And so I tweaked that a little bit. But, you know, for the most part, when I'm writing, I am trying to say something about the past that is true and to say it in a way that is entertaining for the reader, in a way that they, you know, can walk away having learned something and had a good time.
This book certainly opens itself up to a few more sequels, perhaps. Any thoughts about continuing with the character? Bridget, we haven't even talked about her servants, Martha, who's a wonderful character, and some of the other people involved. Any thoughts about continuing on in this series?
Yeah, actually, the second book, I've submitted it to my editor at St. Martin's Press, and he has signed off on it. Tentatively, it's titled The Harlot's Tale. And I'm about a third of the way through writing a third book in the series that is going to be called The Witch Hunter's Tale.
Ah, we look forward to it. Sam Thomas, thanks so much for joining us today around noon.
And thanks a lot. I had a great time.